We know them many, many years. We go back many, many years. And their lives, if I need counsel, I need to talk to somebody, I just need some encouragement, I need some direction, they're always there. They pick up the phone, and they have always been 100% on the money. So it's my honor and it's my privilege to let him loose here in front of every one of you, that you would hear what God has to say. Uh-oh. Amen? You got a lot to live up to now, buddy.
Thank you. Thanks, Pastor Phil.
Oh, goodness. Happy Easter. Oh, my gosh. I'll tell you. I could tell I'm like a liberal Christian now. I actually say Happy Easter. You know, when we were growing up, when we had our kids growing up, we didn't use Easter. We were much too holy for that. You know, it was Resurrection Day or nothing. But, you know, we've become rabble-rousers now. You know, we're rabble-rousers. We use Easter, I'm just like Jesus. Actually, I'm becoming more like Jesus, who was really a rabble-rouser. You know that, right? Jesus was such a rabble-rouser. I bet you didn't know this, that they would not allow him to go into the jewelry stores in Jerusalem. They were afraid he was going to break every chain. I'll be here all week, so, you know. Seriously, though, Holy Easter, I'll call it, is my favorite day on the Christian calendar, even more so than Christmas. You know, Christmas we celebrate, obviously, the birth of Christ and among other things. But I should say, first of all, today is actually my literal birthday. And as I was thinking about that today, I was thinking about how it also is all of our spiritual birthday as well. Because that day, that first Resurrection Sunday, gave us the potential to become new creations. I don't know if you could really get a grasp of that or really thought about it in any depth. We were destined to die. I don't mean just physically die. We were destined to die spiritually. All things were destined to corrode and rot. At the cross, when Jesus Christ was resurrected, all things receive the potential to have eternal life with God. And that's the only kind of, because let's face it, folks, you know, we're souls that are going to last forever. We're going to live forever, everyone, whether they receive Christ or not. Some are going to live it with Christ, and unfortunately, many are going to live it without Christ. So we do have a responsibility. We have a responsibility to be the Christ for these people who may never enter into the doors of this church. But they'll be with you. They'll see you. We're the body of Christ. Right? Say it with me. I am the body of Christ. You know what that means? You know what that means? It means that we collectively represent Jesus Christ here on earth. We represent Jesus Christ on the earth. That's an incredible privilege, but also a responsibility. And so it's more than just speaking the words about being Christians or what it means to be a Christian. It actually means living the Christian life and let the Christ within reflect out. There was a bunch of stuff I wasn't really going to say, but I figured, let me just throw that in while I got the microphone going. You know, you give a preacher a microphone and forget about it, he keeps on going. So what was destined for corruption and destruction now has the potential for life and life eternal with God. And it was at a particular moment that God decided that this was going to be so. And it was, you know, it says that the Lamb of God was slain before the foundations of the world were set. So this was, Jesus was not plan B. Jesus was plan A right from the beginning. Right from the beginning, he knew that God was going to do this. Jesus is called the incarnation. I don't know if you've ever heard that word. The incarnation, basically, it sounds like a real religious word, but basically it just means the power of God coming in the form of man and combining with humankind. And that was Jesus Christ, the incarnation. And that same power The incarnational power of God resides in each one of us, the body of Christ. Hallelujah. So today we rejoice because we truly have been born again. Whether we realize it or not, when we've received Jesus Christ into our hearts, into our souls, we have received the power, the potential to be sons and daughters of God. And all that that implies, can we be more joyful? Get those dour faces off. You need to be smiling this morning.
That's right.
You know, and that expression, that incarnational expression of God is really the love of God. And doesn't it say, John, we say it all the time, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son to the world so that the world would not perish but have everlasting life with him. What an expression of love. And it's more than just sending a card to someone. He didn't just send us a card. He didn't just give us a good pat on the back. Way, nice job. He doubled down. He became flesh. Amen. Expression of his love. Thank you, Lord. So anyway, I got to be thinking about that moment, you know, when God made that decision, because it was a moment. And I got to think about how our lives are really a series of moments. Now, because of the construction of our brain, we don't perceive our life as moment to moment to moment. Our brains can't process that quickly. As a matter of fact, we can never really be present, because by the time we think about the moment has already passed by the time our brain has processed it. But God views the moment in a very special way. As we live these moments and we become awakened to the fact that there are these moments, whether we're actually in the very present moment or not, as we awaken to this fact, we start to realize that not every moment is the same as the next moment. There are certain moments that happen in our lives that are actually revolutionary. There are moments when we can actually, the destiny of our lives and direction of our lives can actually turn on a pin. But guess what? We have to be awake so that when those moments arrive, that we not only acknowledge them, but that we move in the direction that they're leading us. Anytime you want to say amen, that's okay with me. I'm good with that. I'm good with getting up and dancing, and you know, as long as it's the Lord. Are you following what I'm saying? All right, good. I'm not finished. I will try to explain it a little bit better. So I started to think about my own life, you know. Now I'm standing up here and I'm telling you all this good stuff. I do it every Sunday and we sing the songs and, you know, we have meetings in the week and we counsel people and, you know, we have all this good thing. But we're just like you, you know. We have to live moment to moment to moment, and we have to stay aware of what's going on spiritually around us. And, you know, God, the whole earth is filled with the glory of God. Isn't that what the scripture says? So God is reflected in all the things that are happening. We need to be aware of what's going on around us, because in what's going around on around us in the natural, there are signs and leadings that can tip us to what God is doing in the moment, so that we were able to take advantage of that. And I realized for me that I'm usually preoccupied. I know this, and yet I get preoccupied with stuff. Right? Anybody with me? Right, we love God, we want to be with God, we want to commune with God. I'm going to my secret place, I'm going to put this time in, and I'm going to hear God, and then the phone rings, the kids this and that, you know. For me, I sit in my office sometimes, my kids, thank God, are adults, and they're not thank God that they're not at home, but thank God I got a little peace. I shouldn't say, my daughter's here, she's going to give me a good beating later. But you know what I mean. I can sit with God and really get quiet. But you know what? Even at those times, I'm sitting in my office and the birds start chirping. I start getting annoyed. And I'm like, Lord, I want to be with you. And the birds are chirping. And then in the background, way, you know, 3 blocks away, I could hear the hum of the lawnmower. I'm like, what's going on here? And you know, the Lord laughed at me. He said, Roy, you're silly. He said, I'm in the chirping of the birds. You just have to hear the moment. Hear the moment. Now that may sound ridiculous to some of you, but nothing can have its being, right? All things have their being. Nothing can exist without God's Spirit, right? We live and move and have our being in God. He didn't just create us. He sustains us. He's in us. This is the power of Christ in us. Can we stay awake? Can we stay fully engaged in the present moment? We can't do it on our own. It's not a thing about effort. I have to be present to being willing to be present. Because it's all about God. I know that sounds confusing, but you know what? In myself, I get distracted. Let's put it that way. In yourself, you get distracted. But if we say, God, help us in this moment. Help us with our moments this day. He will point out those moments that are revolutionary. The ones that change destiny. Our job is to be intentional about that. Saying to God, Lord, and my intention is to love you and to know you and to be with you and to move ahead with you. And I'll tell you, if we will do that, if we will do just that, when we wake up in the morning and give God your good time, don't give God the time that, you know, you did everything else and now, you know, you're shot. Give God your good time. And it doesn't have to be a lot of time. All it has to do is be intentional time. Lord, make me aware. Keep me awake today so that I do not miss the moment when you interact and intercede in my life among the many moments of the day. All moments are not the same. Some are not so good. Some would we'd be just as well probably to forget about them. But they're all there. Let's stay with the meaningful ones, you know, the destiny-changing ones. I just want to give you an example of attentiveness and what happened. Last week was Palm Sunday, right? And you know the story of Palm Sunday. If you don't, just a real quick recap. I was going to read it, but I figured, you know what? You guys probably know it. But the real recap is Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, and he's on the final leg of the journey, and he sends his guys ahead to procure this colt, donkey. And I don't know. I my mind just works so weird. I always think, can you imagine if this was New York City? And Jesus sends the guys into New York City. Yeah, go tell those guys that the Lord has need of the donkey. The guy would say, what? Can I see some ID? Anyway, so Jesus gets on the donkey. They're laying the coats and the thing. They're screaming the hosannas. Hosanna means Lord save, you know that, right? Lord save us, Lord save us. And a very interesting thing happens at one time. The whole the rabble rouses, the crowd, they're making all this noise. It's Hosanna, Hosanna, you know, praise God, praise God. Bunch of guys come out of the temple. The scribes, the Pharisees, who are the religious people, by the way, how ironic. And they say, hey, Rabbi, tell these guys to cool it. Isn't it funny that the religious people who were probably in the temple praying for the Messiah to come missed the moment when the Messiah actually came right by them? See, it doesn't have to do with how much knowledge you have, how much scripture you've studied, how many times you go to the temple, church, what Bible study you go to, what songs you sing. Those are important things, but those are not the key things. The important thing, and the most important thing spiritually, is to stay awake. Awareness of what's going on around you. And you'll see the signs of the season in all the things that are happening in the world today. Wake up. The Pharisees were religious folks, and they were the ones that ended up persecuting the Lord. The very thing, the very person that they were praying for. I just think it's so incredible. They missed the moment. It materialized. They prayed and the Messiah materialized in front of them. How many times do we pray and the answer is right in front of us, but we miss it because we've already set the parameters for how God is going to work in our lives? Oh, that doesn't fit my religious understanding of the Bible, Pastor. Gang, I want to just tell you, God is outside of anything that we can construct. We need to have construction. I'm not saying that we don't need to have Bible studies and all this. We need to do the basic work to build the container at the beginning. But there's a point when we have to go past that and allow God to be God. His Spirit is like the river of life. It's the power of life. The river, you cannot contain it. The river flows. And our job is to get in the river. Get in the river. And watch where it takes you. I'll tell you, it's a great place. It's a great place to be. But instead, they rebuked him and scorned him and they scorned the people that were worshiping him. And how many times do we do that even in the church? We don't like the way that person is worshiping. How dare them dance in the aisle? How dare them raise a flag? That doesn't fit with the way I understand. That's what they did. They were scorned. The religious people scorned these folks, the common folks, who were just screaming Hosanna because they were empowered by the presence of the Messiah. They were aware that this is who it was. I want to be associated with that crowd. I like the rabble-rousers. Call me crazy. And they have, believe me. So anyway, I'm going to close my section here of the meeting this morning. I don't want to keep you too long, and I know Pastor Phil has a powerful word. But I want to share with you what I believe the word of the Lord is today. I don't even want to put prophetic word on it. So that gives it sort of a religious kind of connotation. But you know what? We could all hear God if our eyes and hearts are turned to him. He wants to speak to you. And he'll speak to you profoundly in ways that are so natural sometimes that you almost shake your head and think, wow, is that really God? You know why that is? Because there are voices in our head, aren't there? And I'm not talking about like wacky ones. We have the voice of the world, right? Tell them, rap, 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 rap. We have the voice of the enemy. Rap, 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 rap. We have the voices of other people and their opinions who are never ceasing. Blah, 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 blah. And then we have God's voice as well as our own voice. And the funny thing is, all of the voices sound like us. So differentiating those voices is part of the journey. And the way that we can do that is we know what's in the scripture, because the voice of God will always speak what's in the scripture. It will never contradict what's in the scripture. So if you're unsure, go to the scripture. Or if you don't know where the scripture is, go to someone who knows the scripture. First, though, ask God, and he will speak to you in a way that you'll understand it. He'll speak to you in the birds or the license plates or the kids. Exciting when God speaks in that way. Anyway, let me close my... This is what I believe the Lord wanted me to say to you this morning. And please don't be discouraged. Don't be... it's not a rebuke or anything. It's just what I felt the Lord wanted to say. So here it is. I felt the Lord say to tell you to wake up and to see the spiritual implications of the events happening all around us in the world today. Look at them, but don't despair. Don't let them overcome you. But instead, stand and pray, believing. Again, ask for grace to become aware and for the awareness that makes us spiritually in tune with the Spirit of God. Stay attentive. Don't just do it and walk away. Stay attentive, because God is not, it's not like you're in a conversation where it's going to be a tit for tat thing. God will speak to you. You ask a question in the morning, it may take all day before the answer starts to unfold. So stay attentive during the day, because the bride never knows when the bridegroom will come. The other thing is, don't retreat into spiritual practices. A lot of times we, well, you know, I just got my time. I have my relationship with Jesus. I'm going to read my Bible and my daily bread, and then that's good. Spiritual practices are wonderful, but they in themselves are powerless against the darkness that is being sent right now, whose main purpose is to keep you asleep. So you could actually be doing the spiritual processes and fall asleep. Laodicea, bring anything to mind? Stay open, God says, to the open, to the forces of light, which will show themselves in diverse ways. I want to close with this from the scripture. Listen, you who live in Zebulun. Zebulun means to dwell. And the land of Naphtali. Naphtali means a torturous position, torturous, twisting position. Along the road of the sea and on the other side of the Jordan, which means descent. Those of you who have descended into a torturous understanding and are living in that place in the land of the Gentiles. This is from the scripture. Let me just say as a side, I give you the meanings of the names, like the Jordan, the proper names, because they hold meaning. If you will go past the reading of your scripture and get yourself, there's a little book, it's called A Dictionary of Biblical Proper Names. You will get so much insight into what the scripture is saying because of the names that were used. Those names are more than just names. They're applications of spiritual principles for that particular area. That enough being said. So that's why I took the time to do that for you. So these folks who really are us, really, in a sense. We live in a land of the Gentiles, don't we? We live in a land where the principles of God are not paramount. It's a land of dissent. It's a land that's torturous and twisting. But this is what God says. You who spend your days shrouded in darkness can now say, we have seen a brilliant light. And those who live in dark, in the dark shadow land of death, can now say, the dawning light arises on us. That's Matthew 4, 15 through 17. Today is Resurrection Day. We celebrate that light that we know as Jesus Christ the Lord, risen from the dead. And not only that, we celebrate our own birthdays, not just the natural ones, but the day that God, in His love for us, released the potential power for us to be sons and daughters of God, to live with Him everlasting in an everlasting power in His realm where there is no sickness and no death and no sorrow and no tears. Amen? Amen? God bless you. Enjoy your day today.
Amen? Amen? It's a very special day today. You know what today is? What else is it?
My birthday.
What else is it? You let me in on this one now. April Fool's Day! Very interesting, isn't it? Happy birthday, Pastor Roy. Praise God. An atheist allegedly filed a lawsuit in Florida objecting to Easter and Passover celebrations while the atheist had no holiday to celebrate. The judge dismisses the case and says the atheists do have their holiday, April 1st, April Fool's Day. And he cited Psalm 14. Right? But we have fact because he is alive. Right? He is alive. What's the benefits of the resurrection of Christ? Proof of salvation. The resurrection confirms the claims of Jesus and provided ultimate credibility to who he is, the Son of God. The power over sin. Jesus' resurrection represents an assurance that we can have forgiveness from our sins. The purpose for serving. Jesus' resurrection means we are partakers of his divine nature. A promise of security. Jesus' resurrection proves the fact that Christ's triumph over the grave is heaven's pledge to us that we too shall be raised. Amen. And is also a provision of success. The Lord's resurrection brings about the ultimate victory of Christianity over all of the enemies, all of its enemies, including death. Amen? Amen? Amen. Including death. He's overcome death and made us partakers of the righteousness which he has obtained for us by his death, which means that we're forgiven. We're forgiven. Secondly, his power has also raised us up to a new life, which means to be born again. And third, the resurrection of Christ is a sure pledge of our blessed resurrection, which is eternal life. Amen. Pastor Roy said something just prior to me coming up here, and he said, you know, you're all going to live. We're all going to live somewhere. You're going to live somewhere. I say it at every funeral I do. Because that's probably the place where you have the most people that are not saved. And to understand that you're going to live somewhere, this is not the end of the game. But thanks be to God that we celebrate Resurrection Day, Sunday, this day, because we're not going to experience death like that. We go from life to life. Amen? I'm going to read to you in Romans, because what a resurrected life should do for us, the resurrection of Christ, which it should do for us, is give us a new life. Romans 8, 5 to 11. Sylvia already beat me. But because it's Easter, I'll let her. Romans 8. One of these days, I'm going to get those little tabs and stick them in here. Romans 8, 5 to 11. And that's not the time, it's the chapter. Romans 8, 5 to 11. Those who live according to the flesh have their minds... Ooh, this is connecting. Those of us who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. But those who live according with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death, but the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God, not to his Lord, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. You, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then you, even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. Amen. Praise God. So what does it mean to live according to the sinful nature and according to the Spirit? Paul is explaining something very simple. Unbelievers have their minds set on the things that are going to satisfy the flesh. I was listening to Pastor Roy's message, and I'm listening to what I was preparing as well. And you have to be present. You have to be present with God. You've got to take your mind, right? You've got to take your mind and concentrate on those things which are of the Spirit. Believers can do that. Unbelievers can't do that. Unbelievers do what? They don't want to follow God's law, right? They only want to satisfy what's happening here. Here. So unbelievers, their interests are sinful. They got no regard for God. The exact opposite is true for those who live according to the Spirit. They desire to have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. It's not enough to go through your disciplines, reading the Word. That's all, like he said before, Pastor Roy said it before, that's all good stuff. But your desire, your heart. My desire is to hear from God. Not just to go through a religious ritual, but to hear from God. What is God saying? So our desires should be, our minds should be set on what the Spirit desires. What does the Spirit desire? Well, the mind of the sinful man is death, physically and spiritually. But the sinful mind is hostile to God, will not submit to God's law, and it cannot please God. The indwelling Holy Spirit gives a believer a totally different life. And as a result of Christ's indwelling presence, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. The eternal spiritual life of God is implanted by the indwelling Holy Spirit and Christ Jesus here and now, even though a believer's body is mortal. And then Paul goes on to write a better promise. He says, since God raised Jesus from the dead, God promises believers in whom his spirit is living, that he will also give life to their mortal bodies through his spirit. So God promises spiritual resurrection life now. For each and every one of us, and for our physical resurrection in the future. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God. I think about the time when Jesus, after he rose from the dead, and he ate with them, and he had fish, and he had bread. And he said, here I am. What would we have felt at that moment in time? Let me ask you a question. I'm getting away from my notes for a minute here. Jesus walks through the door. What's your response? Fall down on the floor? You better believe fall down on the floor. Do you think he's coming in a tie and a jacket? You think he's coming in jeans and a t-shirt? How do you know? How do you really know? Come on, tell me. But that new life that we have through the resurrection of Christ is a life of power. Isn't it time for the church to walk in power? Isn't it time for the church to be able to pray for the sick and see them healed? Isn't it time for the church to know the truth, to set many free? Right? Ephesians 1. Let's look at it. A new life, but a new life with power. Verse 18 says this: I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That same power is the same mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but is also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So Paul prays this, that the eyes of their hearts would be enlightened. What is your heart? It's the central person of who you are. It's the centrality of your personality. Having prayed that they might know personally three facts, he wanted to give them three facts: the past call of salvation that produced hope, the future inheritance that God has in his saints, and the present power God that gives to us that's available to all believers. Why does it appear to me that the church doesn't walk in power? Why does that appear to me that the church doesn't walk in power? I don't think we really get a real good revelation or understanding of what it means to have everything what Paul's talking about right here. And we've got to ask God to help us to receive that, to understand that. The Holy Spirit can enlighten us to that. Well, Paul wants us to understand that through the word, that the eyes of our hearts might be enlightened. Right? It's not just for them out there. No, it's for us too. And that word power means a spiritually dynamic and living force.
Yes.
This power of God is directed toward all believers. And this underscores the degree of God's great power. It's available to who? To all who would believe. To all who would believe. So you walk through this life, and you walk with a real demonstration of power. How are things going? Oh my gosh, you should only know. You can't believe what's been going on. You pray? Yeah, I prayed. We have Christ in us, the hope of glory. The resurrected Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen? There should be a big difference between the church and the world. They should see something in us that they would desire or be enticed to or drawn to. Right? We should be different. I'm wrestling with this. I'm wrestling where the church and the world, the lines are becoming blurred. The lines are becoming blurred. I can't tell if the church is going to have an impact on the culture or is the culture having an impact on the church. First, this power was exerted in Christ when God raised him from the dead and seated him at the right hand. And it's that same power that's available to us. God's power in Christ seen in placing all things under Christ's feet. You can take authority. You can take authority. Do you know that? You have authority. Don't get so excited about that now. The same Christ in you gives you the authority. I wish I could get a camera and take a picture of the happiness and the joy that I see with all of the facts that you're finding out today, which are definitely encouraging you and giving you strength and hope in life. Just for that, no Easter egg hunt later for you. The church is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way with this mighty power available to us. There never needs to be a power shortage. Never. Never. I used to work for a utility. I used to work with electricity. Talk about power. I seen electricity turn concrete into glass. There's power. And you want to know something? There was always more coming. There was always more coming. There was always more coming. It's like they never ran out. You go home today, you flip your light on, you expect the light bulb to go on, right? And if it doesn't, whoa, Long Island Lighting Company, whoever they are today, I got no electricity. We can last about 5 minutes with the lights off before we go into panic mode. Then the generators go on, and oh my gosh. But with Christ, there is no power shortage. It's a never-ending reservoir. Amen. If the death of Christ is the supreme demonstration of the love of God, the resurrection of Christ is the supreme demonstration of his power.
Yes.
Woo, that mighty power that raised Jesus to heaven after his resurrection, raising him above all demonic foes and every potential enemy of all time, that same power is at work in you. Ooh, yes. Maybe that's the key. In order to have a resurrection, there's got to be a death. Right? That's a message for another day. But if we couple a new life with the resurrection power, it brings about what? A changed life. A transformed life. Colossians 3. Praise you, Lord. Somebody took it. Here it is. Sometimes my wife gets my Bible, and you know, she highlights things that I need to read. Okay, Colossians 3, 1 to 4. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on what? Things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died. If you're born again today, you died. You're alive in Christ, right? And your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. So, since believers have not only died with Christ, but have been raised with Christ, and Paul said that if our heart, the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened, then maybe our hearts would be set on things above, we'll see a changed life. Right. Right? We'll see a changed life. Fixing their attention decisively toward things above involves centering your life around and on Christ. This is his seat of divine authority because he has defeated the foes, the forces of evil and death. Believers should concentrate their concerns on the eternal, not the temporal. At the moment of salvation, a Christian dies to the evil of the flesh or the sin nature, as I said earlier, and his life is now hidden with Christ in God. So, we see today that God has got a very specific message for us. I could have talked to you today about the empty tomb. I could have talked to you about a traditional Easter service. But I felt the Lord said to me, we need to have an understanding of what it means to walk in resurrection power. Right? Because that is what's going to make a difference. A resurrected life is a life with new authority. A resurrected life gives us a new identity. I remember the gentleman that brought me to the Lord many years ago. A womanizer, an alcoholic, a drunkard. I wouldn't let him in the room of my grandmother. You couldn't trust him. God got a hold of him, radically changed his heart and his mind. Amen. And I said to the Lord, what he's got, I want it. Something happened to that guy. There was a death. The old man definitely died. And somebody rose up inside of him. Jesus Christ. He had the same physical features. But his personality, his identity was different. So when I thought of that person's name, I remembered who he was, but I remembered who he is. Yes. Right? Who he is. A new identity. And the resurrected life gives us a new mission. What's your mission today? You're going to spend time with family and friends, right? What's your mission today? You're going to sit down at the table. Even if there's unbelievers there, you're going to open up your Bible and you're going to start preaching to them and tell them that they're going to go to hell unless they get Jesus. Okay? That's the homework assignment for today. You're going to sit down at that table. Don't you dare move out of that chair until I tell you what you're facing. And after you get done barraging them, now we can eat. And we're going to say grace. I don't think that's how it's going to look, is it? But you have a new mission. If you have a new life, you're a transformed person, you have a new mission. Amen. What's the mission? To partner with God to seek and save those who are lost. Amen? Amen. Praise God. Let's bow your hearts. Thank you, Lord. While you have your hearts closed and your eyes bowed, I want to read a scripture to you. So one verse. And I'm going to read it twice. Jesus said to her, meaning Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. While you have your eyes closed and your hearts bowed, I don't know all of you. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what kind of life you've had. But I would be remiss if I didn't give you an opportunity right now. If this message, these two messages that you've heard today have not prompted you and touched your heart, and I'm not going to belabor the point, but if you don't know Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, today is the day of salvation. If anyone here today does not know Jesus Christ as Lord, I'm not going to ask you to get out of your seat. I'm just going to have you come to myself and Pastor Roy at the end of the service, and we're going to pray for you. But if that's you today, would you just slip up your hand? Anyone at all here today? Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, we are grateful today for all you have done. And Lord, we do celebrate a very special day. But Lord, it's not just a day, it's a lifestyle. It's not just one day on a calendar. But Lord, you have imparted your Spirit to everyone in this room. And Father, we have an authority, we have a new identity, and we have power through your precious Holy Spirit to conquer all things in your name. And Lord, even death no longer has a hold on us. And for this, we give you thanks. God, as we go through this day and as we sit with family and friends, may the love of Christ be shown through us. Not with preaching, not with judgment, but just with love. We're honored, Lord, to be called your children. We're grateful to be a part of your family. And we thank you so much, Lord. There's so many benefits to what was done for us. But Lord, we just say thank you. And help us on a day-by-day basis, Lord, to continue to decrease as you would increase in us. Thank you, Jesus, for this time we've gotten to share together. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen.